Hey everyone, welcome back to the IWP Network, or if it's your first time,
thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for choosing this podcast, and feedback is always welcome. So make sure to check the links below for all social media links, audio and video versions of this show, and merch. We look forward to hearing from you and hearing that feedback. Enjoy the show.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, we're here. We're live. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So I just kind of drop interviews on you. And this is one of them. We're at number 99. We're here with Adam. Sorry. Yeah. I'm reading my advertisement that's about to come, and it's also an A. So I almost just called you Amber. But we want to thank our sponsor, which is right above his head, Abaddon Tattoo Studios, a unique professional experience nestled in the small town of Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. They provide high-quality tattoos and piercings in a relaxed, professional, and sterile environment. We're going to be announcing very, very soon, probably after this podcast, because I didn't do like the randomizer and all that fun stuff, but we have a $100 gift card from Abaddon Tattoo Studios, and I think three more left. Well, this will be after this. After we give that one away, we have two more left. If you would like to win and you're in the local area, I'm not sure. We might do a different giveaway in a different podcast. So follow the IWEP network. All the links are below and you can have a chance. We have a bunch of local businesses, gift cards that we're giving away throughout the next couple of months to help support local business. But we're going to find out who wins that tattoo gift card soon. If I'll give you another opportunity. After this episode ends, you can go to our pages and share the interview with Jen Myers. And that is the way to enter a chance to win to do that. And we'll announce the winner tonight when we go live on Tornado Tag Podcast. I'll post it and announce who wins the $100 gift card. Yeah, so exciting. So what's going on, man? Tim's already in the chat. If you guys are watching live, please hit that share. Let people know that we exist. Check the links below for all of our guests' information. His podcast is there, which we're going to learn about, as well as all of his Bandcamp and his music. Let's have some fun here. So this is an interview where we had a 3-minute conversation or 5-minute conversation before the cameras start rolling. So this is going to be very spontaneous, learning from each other, having a good time. And that's pretty much what this is about. Just kind of picking up the pieces as we go. We have very like-minded friends. We surrounded ourselves with good people. So, you know, Tim, and Tyler and all those guys, Ted.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler Troutman and I met at a show when we're the same age, and so we met when we were 17 and just like kept in contact, and then our bands would play together, and then I, you know, booked a bunch of shows. I lived in Bloomsburg for a while, and so I booked a whole bunch of shows there and, you know, introduced him to my friends that lived up here in Rochester. And so there's kind of been this kind of community between that central, like, Schuylkill County scene and the Rochester scene for, you know, over 10 years now.
Yeah, he's been we have a young guy in the area named Noah. He runs that Punksteria.
Yeah, yeah.
And he reminds me a lot of Tyler, because Tyler has been booking shows in this area since he's 15 years old. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or probably even younger. I could be wrong with that age, but he was doing it before he's legally allowed to be in bars playing shows. He's been booking them and just always building a music scene. So the guy's always been super determined and driven and stuff. And now we have like a new generation of that happening with Punksteria. So it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah. Well, especially like for me, like I left that area about 10 years ago. And so just kind of seeing that, you know, like the work Tyler does, and you know, I don't know if you know Chris Castillo. He was involved when they were doing the Par Glass house shows, and he's in a band called The Greater Victory. Those guys just, like, it's so hard to cultivate that type of scene, especially, you know, in a kind of weird rural area, like a rural small town area that, like, what it is down there.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of jumped a little far here, but introduce yourself, let people know who you are, what you do, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, so my name is Adam Kramer. And the main thing I'm doing right now as far as creatively is my podcast, which is called So I've Been Told. And, you know, we've had some, you know, I've had Tyler Troutman and Ted Hazard that have been on this pod, and eventually I'm going to get Timmy Mengel on my pod as well. It just hasn't happened yet.
Oh, he loves to talk. And, he'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've talked about doing it. It just hasn't, you know, I haven't nailed down the time yet. So
he's my reigning champion when it comes to guests on my on the show. I think he's done it more times than anybody.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so that's kind of the main thing I'm doing these days as far as creatively. But as I was saying, I've played in played in bands for years and years and years and years. Like, I started my first band when I was 19, and I'm 34 now. And even then, like, that was kind of late, because some kids start younger. Yeah, so I just got involved in DIY music and have met the coolest people through it. And so yeah, I do the podcast, and that kind of was an outlet for. It started out, I never meant for it to be specific to Rochester. But you know, it kind of functioned that way for a while, because it's, you know, obviously it's more fun to do these type of interviews in person,
yeah,
than it is to do it over the internet. But, so as the pandemic started, I started kind of reaching out to more people that I knew through touring, or people that I just, you know, was aware of from their music, and reaching out to them and doing more kind of remote interviews and stuff like that. But
it's definitely a catch. Like, it's a double-edged sword, because I feel like it's easier to book people this way.
Yeah.
But the problem is, not everyone has the greatest quality. So sometimes you get a really good interview and it sounds like they're talking through a tin can, because they're not everyone has podcast equipment. You know what I mean? So you kind of you get a great interview, but you got to kind of suffer in quality when you're more controlled in your environment and your situation. So it's been it's a challenge. It's definitely changed us, because we were definitely an in-person podcast, and then now opening the door to doing them this way has been really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, my ideal is, you know, you come over, we hang out here in my living room and drink a few beers, or, you know, coffee, or really whatever your beverage of choice is, and we, like, hang out together. And, like, because that's the thing, like, the conversation, you know, it's a way to keep in touch with people for me, too, because it's, like, obviously we don't just talk, you know, when, you know, we're talking when the record's not recording as well. So, like, it's just always a good hang.
Yeah. Well, now you said drinking some beers. What is your beers of choice? Are you a domestic drinker, craft beer drinker?
I'm a big Genesee drinker.
You're in New York at that. They love their cream ales up there.
Yeah. Like, I that's kind of always, I'm not much of a beer snob.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and even like Jenny Light. Jenny Light's like the best light beer in
Jenny's
all
just
of
a
the
good
world.
Beer in general. It's a real, it's a good cheap beer, yeah.
Yeah, and so I've lived, you know, I guess we didn't, you know, I didn't even talk about how I ended up here in Rochester. But, you know, shout out to Genesee Brewery.
Well, you killed a guy in school accounting and you had to run. No, you're on the lam.
Well, going back to the very beginning, I was born in Schuylkill County. I was Good Samaritan Hospital in Pottsville. And I lived in Schuylkill County until I was about 5, and then I moved over to Northumberland County.
What town were you originally in? Like, where were you? Where were you stationed? Like, Pottsville?
Primrose. Right outside of Minersville.
I don't even know what that is. And I lived here my whole life.
Yeah, it's just this tiny. It's just this like tiny little, like patch town over the hill from Minersville.
Okay.
Lived there till I was 5, and then moved to West Cameron, so right across the like right over the mountain from Shmokin, and like Shmokin, Treverton. You know, grew up kind of hanging out in that area, and then Sunbury, Sealands Grove. You know, that's all those towns are kind of my stomping grounds
Yeah.
back in the day.
What is now? I only really know music in this area, but what was the music scene like in that time, like over in that area?
You know, it's interesting too because it's a little different now. I mean, it's changed over the years. I mean, obviously it would change. And, you know, it's
Yeah.
been, you know, I'm an old guy now, but it was much less, like it was more divided back then. Like I wasn't as aware of what was going on. Like I knew where Tyler was and that he was booking where he was booking. But I wasn't as connected to the stuff that was going on more like Tamaqua and a little bit further out that way. I more knew what was going on in Sunbury, Lewisburg. My first band played in Lewisburg all of the time. That was just kind of the center of where things were happening at the time.
Yeah. So Tim wants to know, are the Slamming Jennies still together?
They are not. Slammin' Jennies are a band that my good buddy John Kiss had started, and they one of their members they had some members issues, and
They had band issues.
yeah, so
Yeah.
they're pretty much done. I don't know, John might resurrect it because I think he's kind of always thought of it as his project. I could be wrong there, so I'm not trying to, you know, but their drummer Carlos just moved out of the city, so but yeah, they're kind of done, but John W. Kiss has some other projects in the works. He just joined a band called Sawed Off, which is kind of like thrash punk, with some dudes we know. So
Nice.
we'll be hearing more from that guy soon.
So when you first picked up your instrument, you said you play the bass. Was that your first instrument
Yeah.
you picked up? Was
I took some piano lessons before that. Didn't take it seriously because I was a kid. You know, it gave me a good kind of a, like I know basics of music stuff, and then I played trumpet a little bit, like did the whole school band thing. Was really into ska for a time, which, and like the timing
if you're gonna
all
learn
like makes
trumpet, you better
sense.
put it to use, right?
Yeah. Never ended up playing in a ska band, but at the time it kind of gave me something to, you know, something to relate to, because I was like, oh, I play trumpet and these dudes in these ska bands seem cool. So and then I picked up the bass during like my high school years, and honestly it was because I was just like, oh, it's I just discovered that it's really easy to be a mediocre bass player.
Yeah, every
And
band,
so,
every I think every bass player in the band gets a little shit, right?
yeah, and so for me, it was always like, I think it was always more about like being in a band and like hanging out with the dudes, than it was about, like at the time, it was definitely more about that than it was about like it being a creative outlet. Which that's changed as I've gotten older, but you know, back then it was just about the hang and just about the idea of playing in a band.
Yeah, I mean, growing up listening to music and seeing someone in a band, you're like, man, I need to learn how to play at least one of those instruments because that's how you get the girls. I never picked up an instrument. I unfortunately went the route of sports, and my body wishes I would have went the route of music. But what were some of your musical influences that kind of growing up and when you first started dabbling in music and playing instruments?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I like my family's you know, pretty conservative Christian family, so I grew up in church. So a lot of my early like musical influences were some pretty cheesy Christian bands. But thankfully some bands that were less cheesy and actually pretty cool and forward thinking, like the ska band Five Iron Frenzy. They were always very kind of forward thinking, and have been like a huge influence on my life, even, you know, to this day. I had their saxophone player on my podcast a little while back.
Oh, cool.
But so I was into that and like ska stuff, and then through ska, that was kind of my gateway drug into stuff that was more like punk rock. Green Day, MXPX was huge for me. Yeah, Blink-182, just like every other like dude that was into all of the things that I was into, and yeah, you know, as a teenager. So
I don't think you were alive or had a pulse at one point in time in that generation if you weren't a Blink-182 fan for at least 3 minutes, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I'm still a huge Blink fan. I don't care. I don't, as long as Mark and Travis are involved in some way. I mean, I love Tom, but as long as those two are involved, I'm always going to be a Blink fan.
There's, you know, there's, I think my thing with them and like the last two records they put out is, I think both of them would, like, the records would be better if they like shortened them a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Like they, like they'll drop an album with like 16 tracks and it's like, this would be so much better if it was just like a concise 10 track record. Just give us the best stuff and leave the, you know, the more mediocre songs off.
Yeah.
but you know, Tom, dude, what an interesting character he's turned out to be.
You know, it's funny. I, being a fan, and then him like, I'm quitting the band to go chase aliens, and I'm like, what an idiot. And now like, I started a podcast where we talk about that kind of stuff, and I'm like, I think Tom was kind of right. I'm like, I think he was onto something here. And we might.
Yeah.
I was like, Tom's not too crazy anymore to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I think he's a lot less crazy than I did a year ago.
Yeah.
Just like seeing how weird the world has gotten in the last year.
And like how the government's like, yeah, we know about aliens. They're real. And people are like, well, what's going on with the pandemic? I'm like, wait, did you guys hear what they just said? Like, they just confirmed some shit. Like, people are like, nah, that's fake. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I haven't allowed myself to really go down that rabbit hole.
Don't do it. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I just haven't. Like, it's too overwhelming to even wrap my head around.
It's, yeah, I don't say I believe in everything, but if a quarter of what I've researched is true, we live in like the Men in Black movies. Like,
fair enough.
I think the first research I did for the show was MK Ultra. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Where pretty much our government, was just like testing drugs on unsuspecting people. And it's just like, wow, and no one got in trouble for it. Nobody. They're like, it was all for research. And it's like, whoa. It's like, yeah, they could be doing that at any time. They're like, take this pill. I was like, no, you MK Ultra'd people back in the day. I ain't taking nothing from you. But yeah, it just, yeah, you'll turn. I'm starting to like wrap my head in tinfoil and I'm turning to Alex Jones by the day. It's crazy. I try to like breaks. I take breaks from that reality and then go into professional wrestling so I can level myself out and get back to, you know, the good old trailer trash, you know?
Yeah, I'm. You know, as we were saying before we started recording, I'm also a wrestling fan, so we'll get there too.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, then it, like kind of go back to the musical journey is like, you know, I went from that pop punk stuff, and then as I got a little bit older, like I really got into like Jimmy Eat World, which I mean, yeah, everyone knows the middle. Like that song was huge, and that's fine, but like. The record before that, Clarity, if you don't know that record, like, you should, because it's perfect.
When my wife was in college, we were walking through the campus, and they're like, hey, there's a concert tonight on campus, and you can go see it. And if you're a student, you get in for free, and I guess you bring somebody with you, they can come in as well. And I was like, do you want to go see a concert? And at the time, like, she was into music, but she didn't really care. She's like, nah, let's just go back home. And I was like, all right. So I look at the flyer, and I was like, at the time, I wasn't really super, super into like music, or I wasn't hip or keen on everything. But the and this is like 2006, 7-ish, maybe. But the banner was Jimmy Eat World and Paramore.
And that's at Bloomsburg, right?
Yeah. And I was like, we could have seen Jimmy Eat World and Paramore, and we just walked away from it.
I wasn't there, and I should have gone.
Yeah.
Like, I knew about it, and I was doing the whole taking classes at LCCC, and I had a class up in Nanticoke that night, and I was like, oh, I need to go to class. Had I known that I was just gonna drop out anyway,
Go see Jimmy World and
like
Paramore.
I would have just gone to see Jimmy Eat World. But yeah, I got super into them, and that kind of moved into my, the first band that I was in. They and oddly enough, actually yesterday, I just like they did a live stream where they played that record Clarity front to back, which was super cool. Like it's I haven't really I don't know. It's like you can't replicate live music, but I, my sister got me the ticket for this live stream, so I just kind of like I'm just gonna like just go in and like try to experience this the best I can.
Start moving the
And it
coffee
was great.
table and
Yeah.
like I'm gonna kick and shit. I'm gonna get into this.
But yeah, they were great. And so, started my first band with my buddy Rob, who was really the really is like the biggest Jimmy Eat World fan that I've ever met. And so our first band was kind of a weird mix of influence because I was also like kind of into like heavier stuff. So it was just unfocused, like most
What was
people's
the name
first
of the
band is.
band?
That was called Red Eyes for Blue Skies, which is a very cheesy emo band name.
This is so emo. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a good name, though. It's a pretty good name.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that there was also another like more popular band called Bedlight for Blue Eyes. So that was a little confusing, but maybe people thought that we were them. I don't know.
I will say this. Anyone who starts naming like podcasts or wrestling or any like if you're a wrestling fan, I feel like you come up with better names because you're just conditioned to do so.
Yeah, well, this was before I was back into wrestling, so but that band was a thing for a couple of years. It ended because of people moving away and going away to college and all that. But really, that was my first taste of really being involved in that DIY community. So, I was, playing shows, like we were playing shows with like Tyler's first like old band Already Gone, and kind of making connections in that scene there. And at the same time, my best friend from high school started, like he came to college, he went to college up here in Rochester. And he had like started playing, playing solo shows and playing in bands. And so, we all just kind of saw like, oh, like, if this scene doesn't exist, we can just, start booking our own shows. And that's kind of been my whole life is like just kind of, trying to figure out how to do what like we want creatively, my friends and I, and like seeing that you can't always depend on somebody else to put it together. Sometimes you just gotta like do the work and book the shows and kind of create your own scene.
No one's gonna do, no one's gonna hand you anything. You gotta go out and get it. It's definitely, I wish more, and it's just anything, podcasting, music, anything. You can't just create something and put it out and then hope the world sees it and appreciate it. You gotta hustle yourself, you know?
And so like we started, booking shows on our own because we didn't have other connections. And kind of at the same time we were doing this, so my friends that were also in this band called Endangered Youth with me later on, they were up here in Rochester. They went to this college, Roberts Wesleyan College, which is a, pretty conservative Christian college. They like started booking like these like legit punk shows on campus at this Christian college, which I don't know how they got away with what they were doing for as long as they did, but it was kind of the same thing. They just felt like weird outcasts, and so they just started booking their own shows, and
Isn't
and
Relent
so
K like a Christian band?
that's
Like pop
yeah
punk,
we
but
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about as far as like, all that. type of weird, you know, culture.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah, so they just started booking shows, and people from like more, you know, legit like bands in the area would get, they'd get to play. And so it's like, we were all just kind of figuring this out together. And then, so when like, when Tyler's bands would start to travel and want to play out of state, like they would come up here and play shows that my friends John and Steve were booking here in Rochester. And, you know, then it, you know, we would, they would become friends with the bands, and they'd be like, oh, well, we'd love to play somewhere else. And then they would, you know, outside of the area, and then they'd like hit me up, and I'd book them a show in, you know, earlier on I was booking in Lewisburg at like Tuesday Tunes when it was there. And then later on, after I'd moved to Bloomsburg, I was booking shows there at Phillips Emporium for a while. And that was kind of where I started to bring in more touring acts.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know if it's any easier being a musician, but knowing nothing about music when it comes to like how it's set up and sound and everything. I think I helped with 3 shows, and it took years off my life. Like, it was stressful. It was terrifying. I was very fortunate to work with bands that were willing to share equipment, so tear down and setup wasn't too terrible. And yeah, it helped the flow of the show go a lot better. I couldn't imagine booking a show where like every band was like, no, you can't use this piece of equipment or this stack or this head unit or my drum set. It's a lot to deal with, especially if you're not a musician, because I'm just a guy's like, just plug into that thing over there. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just trying to get people in the door. Yes, I couldn't even imagine doing that for a long period of time. I think I tipped my toe on it, and I was like, I'm good. I did that.
Yeah,
pat myself on the back. We got through it, but that's not for me.
Well, and you know, and booking DIY shows is kind of, even in the best situation, it's always a little bit of a gamble.
My first show was a music festival, and I booked 2 national touring acts. I was an idiot. Yeah, it worked somehow, but it was terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, for me, most of the time, the bands that I was dealing with, like, kind of understood the DIY thing, and it very rarely did we like agree on like an amount beforehand. Most of the time, it was like, oh, they know, like, we're gonna, like, myself and the people that come to the show, we're going to do whatever we can to like make sure you get to the next show and, you know, pay you whatever we have. But like, you know, especially, you know, Rochester's like a small city. And it's a snowy city. And so there are all kinds of factors. Being that it's a small city, a lot of people walk. A lot of people don't, you know, if it's snowing, then you got to figure out. So it's like, you can promote a show as good, like the same way you would promote. There's just always so many factors, and there's always just kind of a risk that like this like band that's from out of town is going to show up, and there's not going to be like, you know, even if you promoted the hell out of it, sometimes people aren't going to show up. And some of that's too, like here, Rochester's a very like musical, like there's a lot of music going on for a small city, tons of music and art stuff.
A lot of craft beer in Rochester too.
Yeah. So like there's just lots to do. And so I think sometimes things here get a little oversaturated and there's just too much to do, which isn't, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I booked shows in Bloomsburg for a while, and most of those went really well. That was
a lot of venues in Bloomsburg.
Yeah, I was doing, you know, Phillips Emporium, and they were always really cool there. I would do, you know, I was always surprised. Like, I feel like back then, this was like 08, 09, like early 2010, like. It was kind of just when, like, there was lots of, like, kind of, like, boring metalcore. Like, everybody was, like, doing the thing where it's, like, rah, 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 like, with a back and forth, like. And, like, some of that's rad, like, whatever. But, like, I don't want to see a band. I don't want to see, like, 4 bands all play the same, like, style of boring, shitty metalcore. And that's what a lot of the shows were that were happening in Bloomsburg at the time. So I was trying to, have it be more diverse lineups and more, kind of more like in the punk rock vein than in that like metalcore
Yeah.
world. So yeah, I did that for this was, that was mostly post that first band breaking up. Had a couple acoustic things there and there that I would do, but then I went through a really bad breakup at the end of 2009. I had always wanted to get out of central Pennsylvania. I like dreamed of living in a city since I was like a little kid, like to the point where I would like just be like we'd like go to Harrisburg and I'd be like, oh, all these big buildings. It was a pretty low bar growing up
Yeah.
where down there. So I had friends up here in Rochester and I was just kind of the time had finally worked out. And so in 2010 I moved up here to Rochester. Before that, my friend Steve and John and I, we were like, well, let's start writing for a band when you get up here. So we had like 3-4 demos done before I had even like stepped foot in the state of New York. And so we kind of had the band, like that band Endangered Youth, mostly formed, and had demos before I was even living up here. So I
Wow.
got up here and we just kind of hit the ground running as far as putting that band together. And not long after that we started booking house shows as well.
And that's the band that's on the bank, the Bandcamp link.
That's like more a label, Bandcamp,
Okay.
for like kind of an independent, like little DIY label that I do. And so there's some stuff on there that I've been a part of, but then other stuff is just friends bands that I've
Cool.
released over the last couple of years.
So you do like compilation albums where you put a bunch of people, like people on one thing?
I was doing mostly for individual artists. I didn't really do a lot of compilation stuff. But when we were, I kind of my thing was I released cassette tapes
Okay.
as far
Yeah,
as like,
Tim and Tyler do that as well.
yeah, well, and
I think it's a cool little thing to own a cassette still. I mean, I can't play
like
it,
I love it.
but
Kind of jumping ahead a little while, a little while down the road from where I was at. I ended up kind of running a venue here, like a legit all age music venue here for a while. And obviously everybody wants to have like vinyl records. Like that's the optimum way. That's like the coolest thing. But kind of during that boom that's happened over the last 5 years, it takes so long for records to get pressed. Like it's crazy. So these bands that were out on the road would want to, have something, a little bit more analog, something that you can, hold in your hand. And so a lot of DIY bands started kind of doing cassettes again.
what were those things that you would put in your pocket and there was like they were like tiny cassettes? You remember those in the 90s?
Like the mini clips or
Mini
something like
clips. That
that?
was exactly, yeah. It was all like boy bands and stuff like that. We should bring back mini clips. We should make mini clips again.
That's like the ultimate, like your band like releases and there's no way to play, like releases something and there's no way to play it.
Yeah. Mini clips in the toothbrush that you could put that had music, and when you brush your teeth, you hear it.
Dude, an exclusive release, like there's
Yeah.
no. That's how Tyler and those guys, Tyler and Ted, should be promoting this new Condition Oakland record. It's
Yeah.
just
Not like brushing your teeth to Hit Me Baby One More Time, you know?
it's like exclusively released on a toothbrush.
That'd be amazing. I'd buy it. I'd buy a Condition Oakland toothbrush. Yeah.
No, I would love it. But yeah, so like, that was kind of how I started doing that. I just kind of got, I got a taste of like kind of doing the DIY music thing, and like even when I couldn't play in bands, I was like, this is like a part of who I am, and I need to be involved in it at least a little bit, at all times. So
So leaving the area, you said you went through a little bit of a breakup and left the area. Was Rochester, has it been everything you expected it to be? Has it been like, have you found peace there? Have you found what you were looking for mentally?
I think so. It's been quite a journey. I mean, I'm still here 10 years later. So I think that, you know, it was nice to move here where, like, it was nice because I had a group of friends here before I got here.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like leaving and
starting over, you know, a community.
Yeah. So I just kind of, you know, I moved in with friends that I knew from before right away. And yeah, it's been a nice home base. You know, I don't have any plans to leave anytime soon.
Rochester's definitely on my list to go visit. Because obviously, with I like the craft beer stuff. Like, there's a lot of really good stuff in the Rochester area. And my dad, I don't think he's not in Rochester, but he's in that area, I believe. Like, he's up in the Cortland area.
Okay.
Yeah. So every now and then I go up and visit him, and there's a whole bunch of cool stuff to do in that area. But
yeah,
do you want to shift gears here over to the podcast side? Talk about your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start recording that in 2015. You were telling me.
Yeah. So, and that was, you know, I don't know. Have you ever heard of a podcast called Turned Out a Punk?
I have not. No.
Okay. So that, the host of that, his name is Damian Abraham. You might know him from wrestling stuff. Actually, he hosted that show on Vice, The Wrestlers, where he like traveled around the world.
Oh yes. Is he the one who, like, hold on, let me pull. I watched this one on Vice where they went and he studied like female wrestling around the world, and then he went to like Japanese death matches.
Yeah.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. He's the vocalist in a hardcore band from Toronto called Fucked Up.
And what's his name?
Damian Abraham. So yeah, he had like, he'd been doing this podcast called Turned Out a Punk, where, you know, the whole premise was him just like talking to people in bands or people that do cool, you know, actors or whatever, and like talking about how they got into punk rock and how that influenced their lives. And, you know, so I got really into that podcast. You know, he had some, you know, he's had like real big name guests. He's had Laura Jane Grace from Against Me and, you know, Fat Mike from NoFX and, you know, big names in the kind of the punk rock world. And so, you know, I was just kind of, you know, binging that podcast while I was working. And I was like, you know, I could be having these type of conversations with the people that I know, you know, here in Rochester and elsewhere, where they, you know, can kind of tell their story about like how they got into the music that they make and the art they create. So yeah, that podcast was a huge influence on me, you know, wanting to start. So I've been told.
Yeah, I'm watching some of the episodes, and there are a bunch that I actually watched while they were airing, I think on YouTube and stuff. Like, the one that just popped up is Body Slamming Homophobia in Mexico, where it talks about the glam wrestling in Mexico.
Yeah.
It was a really good episode. And then where he had the next wave of luchadors, and actually was like, he had Rey Fénix on there before, like, Rey Fénix was like, as he was blowing up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the deathmatch one. I think there was one too where he did, when Darby Allin was still working with Keith Lee and stuff was at, I forget, but Darby Allin, he actually had a video of, like, when Darby Allin split his elbow open and shit. And he's like, this guy's a psychopath. Like, he does a really good job.
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of seeing like this, like, and I was a fan of Fucked Up as well.
Yeah.
I still am. And so just kind of seeing what he was doing was like, I was just like, you know, it's not that hard to like just record the conversations that I have with people. I mean, and I've had a variety of different guests. Most of them are all kind of connected to the whole punk rock thing. But like my very first interview was with this guy. It's a friend of mine. His name is Dan Kushner. He writes for Rochester City newspaper and does kind of a whole bunch of things, and he wrote an opera.
What?
Yeah, like he which is crazy to me. So like it's not all. So I started out with like real like highbrow unintentionally, and then went, much more lowbrow as we've gone on. But
Is
it's all kind of just.
what are some of your favorite guests that you've booked so far?
I really really liked. So there was this band called Bleach. From the 90s, and they kind of come from like the Christian music world. They started like mid 90s, and a friend of mine recommended that I hit up the vocalist from that band because he kind of knows him. And so I had him on, and he and I really hit it off. I've talked to a lot of people from like 90s Christian bands, which is interesting because I'm like in a place where I have like a weird relationship with that because my own like because of my own faith journey, but at the same time, like all of those bands were so influential to me as a kid, that I've really enjoyed kind of talking with people from that world.
Where do you lie currently with faith and religion at the moment?
I would identify as a Christian, but not as an evangelical by any means. And yeah, I'm kind of a interested in mysticism, and don't know. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you're still staying to your roots, but I guess I'm interpret if I'm interpreting this wrong, please correct me. But like, open to your staying what you're grounded with, but still open-minded to see outside of that box a little bit. Okay.
And I've always kind of like never wanted that to be the focus of anything I create. Like it's a part of me, so it comes up. But like I never really want it to be the focus of what I talk about in my podcast or the music I create. It's there, it's a part of it, but it's not like why I do it,
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah, it is really cool when you get a guest on your show that you're like, they're never gonna do this, and then you're like, you reach out and they're like, yeah, I'll do it. You're like, now what? You know what I mean? It's like.
It's been fun. I mean, I had to, once again, I was talking about that band Five Iron Frenzy, who just put out a new record that's super great, and everyone should check it out. But I literally started listening to that band as like 11-year-old, and so, last year when I get to talk to their saxophone player, who I've like been aware of since I was 11 years old, and I'm 33. Like I was freaking out a little bit about it. Like I know this isn't like a real like big celebrity to the rest of the world, but like their music was super important to me, and still is. So
Yeah.
yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, and also I really love the episodes that I've done with my friends. Like I you know the Tyler Troutman episode is really great. The episode I did with my buddy Steve Haramis, that one's really cool just because I know about all the little weird side projects and
Yeah.
bands that not everybody else knows about. So we can dig real deep and talk about that stuff.
Condition Oakland is probably still one of my wildest interviews I've ever done. It was,
That was a wild ride having all of those people in the studio
boy,
at the same time.
I at one point just got up and got a beer because they had it taken care of. Like I was just like I got a it's just like 100 voices at one time. It was a blast, and I went back and watched it a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, wow, that was a journey.
Yeah, and that's I've for the most part tried to keep my podcast recordings like more one-on-one just so we can go deeper.
Yeah.
But that's also really fun. I've had ones where like I'm talking to more than one person, and then just kind of I always wanted to just feel like we're all just like hanging out.
Yeah.
So
I try to do that as well, but sometimes it just goes a little off the rails.
But speaking of kind of tying things together is a while back I had Tony Deppen on my podcast, and that
Oh.
was because I once again like playing shows and like smoking in like 2006, like I knew him from like when he played in the Arsenal, And so, it was cool to, chat with him and talk about the wrestling stuff. And
He's killing it. He's killing it right
dude,
now.
he's it's it was so nuts to see him, on Ring of Honor and hear them mention Shmokin on Ring of Honor. Like, that's so crazy.
He's opening a brewery in Impossible soon. Pilgrim Brewing Company. They make amazing beer. He helps run a brew fest with the same guys, the Schuylkill County Brew Fest. And I remember, like, for me, like, when he went viral at one of Janela's shows where he wrestled in the ocean. That was awesome. And then like that year he wrestled, and I'm not trying to be like, don't sense like, but like, he was called No Legs. It was a guy who had, he literally has no legs, and Tony Deppen wrestled him. And I could be wrong, but I believe like Stone Cold put him over on his podcast because he was like, well, this No Legs guy is getting attention, but like, he's like, well, goddamn, that Tony Deppen, if you don't have a good dance partner, one of those type deals. And I remember talking to him, I was like, dude, it's gonna happen. He's like, I hope so, man. He's like, I wrestled this guy, and he's getting an invitation to AEW when it's just starting out. And I was like, it's gonna happen. And he start getting matches at GCW with Orange Cassidy and Pentagon Jr. and like, really cool. Like, I'm just rooting for the guy. He's so talented.
It's super strange to see somebody that I met in like a very different time and place, getting to do these big things.
His brother's a good wrestler too. He wrestles a lot in the indie
Well, that's
scenes.
awesome.
Yeah. Part of
Very cool.
Mustache Mountain. Or Mustache, not Mustache Mountain, Mustache. I forget the name of their team now. I just literally asked, because it reminds me a lot of the UK team, but his brother's really, really talented as well. But they wrestle a lot in the indie scenes. But yeah, super cool dude.
But yeah, I mean, dude, wrestling has been very, very good to me in the last year. I feel like I would have gone a little crazy had we not had wrestling through this
Yeah,
pandemic.
a lot of people were like, oh, like shitting on it because it had no live crowd, but I don't know what would have kept me sane as well, because like, everyone's like, this is terrible, I can't watch it without fans. But it's like, I had nothing else to watch, so like, wrestling was even though it wasn't what I was used to, I was happy that it was there because it gave me something to look forward to throughout the week. Like, oh my God, I'm stuck in the house again. But at least on Wednesday, I can watch two amazing shows, and then I have something to look forward to on Monday, even though it's not the greatest. But it was definitely helpful. It was very helpful.
It's I'm glad that AEW's been like that's been like
Steve Fulton wrote, Deppen is dope, but Header is better. I like that. Do you know Andy Header?
I don't
He's
know.
an indie guy. He's actually part of our Tornado Tag podcast team. So that's
Oh,
why
cool.
I had a chuckle out of that. Deppen is dope, but Header is better. That's a good t-shirt. I like that.
mean the butcher in AEW, he's the guitarist from Every Time I Die.
Yeah. He's awesome as a wrestler too. He has such a good look. Such a good look. Yeah.
And I saw a couple years ago, kind of speaking of talking about connections to hardcore and like hardcore music and wrestling. I saw Brody King's band play here in Rochester a couple years ago too. He's the vocalist for a band called God's Hate.
Okay.
And that was I was mostly just kind of like geeking out a little bit because like I wasn't like as into his band, but I was like, yo, this is just cool that I'm seeing Brody King right now.
Well, there here's a cool little wrestling tie along with music. Are you from are you aware of the band Crobot?
I have heard of them, but I haven't listened to them.
Yeah, so they're out of Pottsville, and they actually just got invited to be, and obviously I'm so pissed I can't go because it's sold out, but they were chosen to be on Jericho's Cruise when it comes back.
Oh,
Like, they're gonna be playing on Jericho, and like,
wow. Nice.
oh God, I'm obsessed with Jericho, and the fact that they're gonna be on that cruise would be just the icing on the cake. That'd be the second thing they did that I didn't get to experience fully. They toured with one of my favorite bands, Steel Panther,
Okay,
and I
cool.
got to the show, and I got to see their set at least, so that was cool. And then unfortunately, we got kicked out for the Steel Panther set, so I never got to see Steel Panther
Oh,
that night.
damn.
But yeah, they're gonna be playing on the Jericho Cruise, which is super exciting. I fucking love that band. The fact that they're like they're gonna be hanging out like with professional wrestlers on a boat just sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, that sounds so cool. And like, so that also that band Code Orange, that's like kind of gotten big this over the last couple of years. That's been on.
They do a lot of music
WWE
for
stuff.
Yeah, they do a lot of music.
I listened to. Well, I think it actually was Turned Out of Punk, and Jamie from that band was on there, and he was just like talking about meeting Triple H. And
I think Code Orange does his Aleister Black song.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a Code Orange, and then actually the vocalist on that track isn't the vocalist from Code Orange. It's the vocalist from another hardcore band from Long Island called Incendiary.
Okay.
And so yeah, that band's super rad.
It's just unfortunate we don't get to hear that song as much anymore because they don't know what to do with Aleister Black.
Yeah.
And then they kicked his girlfriend out of the company because she doesn't like the way they're treating the superstars. And
yeah,
sucks. There's,
the amount of talent on the WWE roster is unbelievable.
We were just looking at it today. This year's Rumble that just happened, which is a good Rumble. And what I'm about to say isn't a thing that I think when you hit a certain age, you shouldn't do it. But I think the two youngest ages in the Rumble this year were two guys under the age of 30, which was Dominic Cruz and Otis. Everybody else was 30 and above.
Wow.
Yeah. And this year's Elimination Chamber, I think, is 30 and above. I don't think there's anyone under the age of 30 in this year's Elimination Chamber.
AJ Styles, he's over 40 now, isn't he?
I believe so. I could be wrong, but I believe so. Yeah. It's Sheamus, AJ, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Roman are all over 30. It's an interesting look. Even NXT is an older crowd right now. Like people are like that's the developmental, and like a lot of those guys have been around for a very long time. They just happen to be on NXT.
Yeah, it kind of seems like now it's just a separate brand. It does not feel like developmental at all.
No, I don't think it is. I actually think they're going to be starting like another developmental under NXT that it probably won't be televised, but they're definitely starting to do more that route. Like NXT isn't so much developmental as much anymore. I mean, it still kind of is. There is some people that are getting TV time that you can definitely see are green, but it's still their chance to really prove themselves. But I think there's a bunch of people in that company who have no interest in going to main roster because they'd rather stay in Florida and stay in Full Sail, and which I don't blame them.
Yeah, I was surprised we didn't see more NXT guys in the Rumble this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting to see Adam Cole. I was expecting to see like some of those Undisputed Era guys.
Yeah, that's a stable they have to pull the trigger on soon because they would be they would be used very well in other companies. You know,
yeah.
I want Kevin Owens to join Undisputed Era in the worst way.
You know what I've been thinking as we've been talking? You kind of look a little bit like Kevin Owens.
I get that sometimes. I think because I'm a chubby dude, and it's all on the nose. I have the pug nose and the beady eyes. Yeah, I got the. I get Kevin Owens and Fat Mark Wahlberg, our fat Nick Jonas. I get some, but it's literally here up. It's the eyes and the
yeah.
Steve, who's in the chat, said he watched this TV show with Nick Jonas, and he said, I would look like Nick Jonas if Nick Jonas stuck his thumb in his mouth and blew himself up to be fat. Body shaming me, Fulton. Yeah, I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. I think him and Adam Cole right now in the company are my two absolute favorite. That's part of the WWE branding, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I like that was one of my favorite moments in wrestling was when he came up and had that match with John Cena on Raw.
Beat him up.
His debut. Yeah. That was just like gave me chills. It was so good.
His matches he's been having with Roman have been fantastic. I mean, they had the botched handcuff spot last pay-per-view, but they've been so because like. We all know Roman's going to go over, but they've been getting it close. Like, holy shit, are they actually going to give it to Kevin Owens here? Because, like, I feel like Roman doesn't technically need the belt at Mania to still be a major pull. And I'm still holding out that they're going to do something big with Roman that doesn't involve the title. But we'll see how it works out. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of what they've been doing with him this, you know, since he turned. It took him long enough to get there. I mean, it's yeah, that whole thing was, I mean, it was nuts. Like, I mean, that's another thing. Like, there's sometimes there's just these like wrestling moments that you don't that stick with you, and like the entire crowd chanting "Fuck you, Roman"
Yeah.
at
Or
Raw
booing him, yeah.
was pretty nuts.
Yeah. We see I remember we went to see Raw, or yeah, it was Raw or SmackDown or one of them, and we were with a bunch of us, and a guy who was watching Fulton Ro Roman beat Bray Wyatt, and Steve got mad and took off his Hulk Hogan socks and threw them off the second floor of the balcony, and they landed on the floor, and then he went down to go find them, and they may have gotten too intoxicated, and they kept trying to sneak closer. And we had great seats, like where we were sitting, we were front row on the railing overlooking the crowd, so we were like
Yeah.
we were camera side, so we weren't non-camera side, and they just kept trying to get closer, and they're like, look at all those seats right next to the front that are open, but they were open for a reason, like they were like people weren't technically supposed to be sitting there, so they went and took these seats, and this guy comes up and goes, yo, are you guys big wrestling fans? He's like, yeah. He goes, let me see your tickets. And he goes, yo, you have good seats. They're right there. And he goes, yeah. He goes, all right. Since you're big wrestling fans, I'm going to take you backstage. And they're hammered. They're like, all right, cool. And he leads them in the back. And he's like, yo, go through this door. And you'll be in the back. And they walk out the door. And they're like, hey, we're outside. And the guy went, click. And they call us like, we just got kicked out of Raw.
Dude, last time WWE came to Rochester, like a buddy of mine who like was working at this restaurant like a block from here, like Ronda Rousey just like came into his restaurant.
That's sick.
Like, that's insane to me that he came into like this tiny little restaurant.
Rochester was supposed to have the big moment before COVID. They were supposed to
I
debut
know.
Brody Lee at Rochester.
I was supposed to be there,
Yeah, I bought both of his
but
shirts. I got his Dark Order shirt and I got his Exalted in Heaven shirt.
dude, that's so sad. That was another time, like just like I was saying, like here in like when Deppen was on ROH and them talking about Shmokin, like hearing the word Rochester come up on AEW, so and even like it came up a couple times on WWE when wrestlers were doing their like tributes to Brody Lee.
Rochester
It's
was a
just
big like that town does very well for wrestling. Like
yeah.
that's definitely a spot where they always try to hit up for a show. Like that's a good wrestling town. Like a lot of people enjoy that area.
Yeah, and I honestly I haven't really gotten into like the indie scene around here as of yet. When things start coming back to normal after COVID, like I definitely really want to. I know a couple guys that have wrestled for like UPW here. I know like Colin Delaney and a couple other dudes.
Who
But
would you say are your favorite right now? You said you watch a lot of AEW. Who would you say are your favorites to watch on AEW right now?
I'm loving Darby Allin.
He scares the shit out of me though. He's gonna be paralyzed. Like he does. Like he
He's
just
nuts.
he's so reckless. Like he terrifies me. When he's on TV, I'm like he's going to kill himself.
I'm still. I also like totally, like not the same. Even though they're together, is like my feelings for them are, like I love Sting. I don't
Never
know what they're
been a big
doing.
Sting guy.
I'm not sure what they're doing with them together. I get it why they're doing it, but I don't know where they're taking it.
Yeah.
Dude, I wish he would like this is like just like my own like not important point of view, but like his hair looks so stupid.
Cool.
Like the back of Sting's head. Like he would look
Oh.
so much cooler if he didn't have this like weird like hair thing going on
Yeah,
back
he's
there.
hanging on to it. It's trying to leave him, but he's hanging on to he's hanging on for dear life. He's hanging on for dear life. Yeah, when they did that spot where they put the thumbtacks in the body bag and then power bombed him over the top rope, I was like, this guy's like, and he hit the steps like he com like he, I'm like, you're gonna die. Like, stop doing
That's
that crazy
crazy.
stuff. You're super talented, But he sees himself as like the next Jeff Hardy, where he has to put himself through this thing because he's smaller. He's not a big guy, so he takes these insane bumps, and it makes me worry for him. I love Orange Cassidy. That's my dude. Jungle Boy, I think, is fantastic. Anytime the Lucha Bros are on TV, I'm a fan. MJF has been surprising, he's so good. Yeah, he's been surprising me. Anytime Jericho's on TV, I get excited. The fact that we have the door open. So we've literally just watched AEW last week, and we had contracted people from three different promotions on one show on a Wednesday night. We had New Japan, Impact, and NWA all on the show.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, we're getting dream matches.
Yeah. Were you watching the NWA Power show that was on YouTube before COVID?
I watched a little bit of it. The two guys in my podcast were obsessed with it. They loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, the TV tapings are really good. Thunder Rosa is a superstar. She's so good.
Yeah. There's so much wrestling content to try to keep up with right now.
You can watch it every day of the week. There's something on every day of the week.
Yeah. I haven't the last couple weeks, but I was like, oh, now I got to watch Impact too. And Impact's been, like, even before they did that crossover, I think Impact's been actually kind of underrated, like, the last year or so.
Yeah. They came to Hazelton a few times and did some shows, and they were really entertaining, but there's just some stuff with that it's still hard to pull the trigger on. Like, your world champion's Rich Swann. Like, that's hard to... He's a nice guy, but, like, it's hard to... Like, that's your champion. Like, Rich Swann is your champion right now. Like, what are we doing? What are you doing over there?
Is he that nice of a guy?
I mean, yeah, that's true, too.
I don't know. Like, didn't he have, like, a whole domestic thing?
Supposedly, he... We'll just say, for the sake of pod, he allegedly beat up his girlfriend.
Yeah, allegedly.
But charges were dropped, so we don't know the whole situation. But
Yeah.
But now he's world champion, so he's, you know, good for him.
Yeah, it's an odd choice.
Yeah. When you have a guy like Ace Austin there, who's like, who could be your next AJ Styles of your company, and he's losing to Matt Cardone his first night, you know, like, and getting squashed by Matt Cardone, who couldn't do much in any company he's been in, but you have this young Ace Austin, who, maybe I'm just being privy because he wrestled a lot in this area, and he's a really cool kid, but I don't know. I just think there's other guys you can push in your company besides the ones you're pushing, I guess. But, I mean, every company just takes WWE guys and makes them their top guys when they get there. So they try to get that rub off. So I get it. But it is what it is. Yeah. So coming up to the end here, is there anything – if anyone's still watching and they have any questions, music-related or anything, throw some out there. We'll wrap up. But let's get some plugs while people are typing some questions in. So what do you want to get out there? What do you want people to go check out?
Check out my podcast, So I've Been Told. As I was saying, you're going to see some names that you've seen on the feed for this podcast. So if you want to check those out, check them out. If I had these people on my podcast, even if you don't know who they are, I'll vouch for them that they're real cool for the most part. Mm-hmm. So they all do cool, interesting things. So check those out. You can check out the Bandcamp page that there'll be a link to. That's, kind of my little DIY label, kind of where I release, stuff for friends or older stuff that, wasn't on Bandcamp previously, just kind of putting it out there so, people can find it. A lot of what I do as far as the podcast, too, like, I look at it as kind of archiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of archiving people's stories and what, it's like, obviously now more with the internet, like, people get their stories and, like, stuff like that with their bands out there. But, it's still, these bands that I'm into, some of them are just like weird niche things, and I want to give them a place on the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same reason I started mine. Like, I think one of my first podcasts was interviewing my grandmother. I only have one grandparent left. Cool. And just recording her story. So I always have it. It's super, yeah. It may not be for the world, but it means something to you. You know what I mean? And that's the fun part about podcasting. And the fact that people want to come and hang out and chat is always fun. And interact and listen is just a bonus to it. I have a question for you here. So desert island albums, you have to take your mini clips with you when you go to the island. Who you take it? I'll give you five. You could do five albums you can take with you.
It's fresh on my mind right now because I just watched that live stream. But Clarity by Jimmy Eat World would definitely be there. Catch for Us the Foxes by this band Me Without You would most definitely have that with me. Right now, I would say 1000 Gex by the band 100 Gex, which if you don't know them, it's like weird, like hyper pop shit, just kind of silly. I don't know. I'd probably throw some maybe like Jawbreaker, Dear You. And Blink-182 Dude Ranch.
Love it. When I'm saying this is your picks, they're yours. It's not who ranks as like the greatest of all time for general population. Okay. It's just your picks. If you had you started your own civilization, right? And you had your most influential people, who would be your Mount Rushmore of people who are influencing, who influenced your life in a positive or a good way that you would put on your Mount Rushmore? But you wouldn't take over Indian land and put a bunch of white guys' faces on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, like hypothetically, we won't actually take over anyone's land.
Yeah.
Like people from pop culture, you said?
Anything. Could be anyone in your life.
Bob Dylan.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Bob Dylan and, you know, kind of everything that he has done. Dude, I would put my friends on there. Like, I'd put my friend Steve and my friend and Tyler's face up on there. I don't know. But yeah, like my friends are huge influences on me, and then, I get emotional thinking. Like, I definitely have heard the New Condition Oakland record and got emotional listening to it because, like, I know all the, you know, I know all the stories behind all the stuff. And so just as a preview, everybody, when that comes out, definitely give that the time that it deserves because it's like a really special record.
Yeah, I want to try to have them back on, but I had to limit them. I said you guys can come back on when the album drops, but I can't have all 13. I can't have 14 years on again. I don't have enough microphones. So they have to figure out their roster. They're playing rock paper scissors as they speak. I'm actually really looking forward to that as well. So the only thing we'll close with is if you guys enjoyed this and you made it this far watching or listening, definitely help us out with a subscribe. We did start on the putting this out before when I had the audio. It was all under the network, so all five shows were all listed, and a lot of people were like, man, I'd love to go back and listen to past episodes, but we couldn't do it because it's just hard to go scroll through 500 past content episodes.
Dude, that was,
it's a lot.
That was what I found when I first heard that my homies were on your show. I was like, it's kind of hard to find.
Yes. So for that, we actually made our own platform. So every one of the shows has we still will do the IWP network for people who are current who just want to listen that way. But if you search Interviews with Everyday People, I believe it's on every platform now. I could be wrong. It may not still be on Apple yet. But if you go on there, it's just broken down for this just one show. So you can go back and listen to past content. It is brand new, so we need to maybe get the subscribers up that on that a little bit. If you can leave some reviews really, really helps us, especially in the Apple world. Five-star reviews are definitely welcome and needed to help us grow. Sharing this with your friends, tell people they exist, as well as our guest Adam's stuff. Also, the merch page is back up. So we're back up on TeePublic and Teespring. So you can go and grab some merchandise. Right now, everything on TeePublic is 35% off. So you can go grab a t-shirt and support the podcast and help us grow. And then we also have the Patreon. We're the other we don't really do it for interviews with the bonus content, but we do have bonus content for Tornado Tag, Not Cool in High School, and Truth Behind Illusion, and also Banging Beers. It's $1 for a shout out, and we'll shout you out every podcast, as well as $5, and you get all the bonus content and all that fun stuff as well. Another thing I forgot to do is do the Patreon shout out. So we'll do that right now, real quick. That's not Patreon. That's not the right app. So first off, I want to thank Jen. Jen is on there. I know that one by heart. Keith Skater, Jay, Hyreth, In Other Words Podcast, which is our buddy Tim, the PA Pile Driver Podcast, and Brad Zalonis. So we want to thank you guys for being Patreons and helping us out. And we love yous. And any last closing words here before we close out, Adam?
No, just thanks for having me on. If you're out there and you check out my podcast, I really appreciate it. My podcast, I've said this on episodes of mine, is that it's, I kind of look at it as a love letter to DIY culture. Mm-hmm. So anytime anybody listens to it, it really means a lot to me. So thanks so much for, helping me spread the word about it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you reaching out to me and taking time to check it out, and the door's always open. I'd love to collaborate with you more in the future, and once this pandemic's over, I head up to the Rochester way, we'll definitely have to link up and have some beers and hang out.
Hit me up if you ever want somebody to just chit chat about wrestling on on your other podcast or whatever. I could sit and talk about wrestling all day. So
perfect, I love it. Well, that'll do it for Interviews with Everyday People, episode 99. We're one away from 100, everyone. So big one coming next week for episode 100. So we'll see you guys next time. We're out of here. Here's some Steve Fulton.